You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you here up north in Wisconsin Rapids, live from WFHR Radio, celebrating their 85th anniversary today with a parking lot party that will take place on this Wednesday morning, August 20th, 2025. Melissa Kay hanging around from WFHR to tell us more about that. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot standing by as well. Then later this hour, State Representative Christian Phelps in our homeroom segment will be talking about somewhat of a bait and switch idea for some federal funding that is ostensibly supposed to be for education overall, but is just a backdoor way to continue to fund voucher schools and drain away our public schools. So stick around for all of that. While I'm in Wisconsin Rapids, we're going to talk with former State Representative Katrina Shanklin coming up in our 8 o'clock hour as well. But again, Melissa Kay sticking around and Brittany Merlot here as well. Brittany, I thought we might see you come on down here to Rapids for the big parking lot party this afternoon.
You're a good forecaster, Pat. How did you know?
See, look how Melissa, you is so happy now. I mean, I thought she was happy to see me. You mentioned Brittany Merlot, and suddenly, I mean, you blow the barn doors off. This is really something.
You kind of love WFHR. I love you that too. Whole family up there. This is so exciting. Happy birthday. Yay.
Thank you. Yay. I mean, it's not till November, but I'll take it.
Oh, no. This is a great day to celebrate it. What kind of a day weather-wise do we get for it?
Oh, perfect weather out there, especially in central Wisconsin. So yeah, we've got some patchy fog out there in places, dense in some spots as well. That's going to start to burn off, of course, as we go through the rest of this morning. Temperatures right now, it's about 61 degrees in Fond du Lac and 70 degrees in Madison. We've got a nice high pressure system that's building and setting in and sticking here with us as we go through the rest of this week. So while the cloudy conditions are still there, misty out there on occasion. We've got big waves still on Lake Michigan as well, a beach hazard, 2 to 5 foot waves building there towards Milwaukee, Kenosha, and Racine. Otherwise, by Lake Michigan in the Fox Valley and Milwaukee area, a few spotty sprinkles or brief light showers are possible. Winds are going to be off the lake, a nice lake breeze, but of course it could build those showers. Now, very, very isolated chance for a spotty shower elsewhere in the state today. I'm talking minimal, but it could happen. Otherwise, more and more sunshine this afternoon, a gorgeous day, mix of sun and clouds on occasion, and mid to upper 70s throughout the state. It's going to be fantastic. And we push repeat on that for tomorrow. It's still going to be beautiful on Friday, too, up until the cold front moves through Friday night and into early Saturday. That could spark a little bit of rain, and then it makes it feel like fall for the weekend, which I'm kind of excited about. But don't worry, summer temperatures will still come back.
I was going to say, I've heard that F word used a lot this week. People saying it's starting to feel fall-like around here. There's some fall temperatures coming. And I'm like, I don't think it's time for that yet.
No, but it is nice to have.
You want to hear something really bad, Pat, that's what? Signaling fall?
What?
Candy corn has appeared in my house already.
Oh, no.
I don't know how. It's freaking August.
Just magic.
You know what else people have sent me twice? Twice this week, people have sent me photos of pumpkin spice products that are in grocery stores now, like pumpkin spice Twinkies and things like that. No, people, no. Let it go.
Don't buy it. Don't cave. Don't do it.
Yes,
just keep coming out earlier and earlier. It'll be June, and we'll have candy corn.
Stand up to big pumpkin spice. it's all just marketing, kids. You can, what is it, nutmeg? You can season these things yourself if you really want to. You know,
cinnamon, nutmeg, spice.
Although, I mean, now Tony, of course, is in Ashland. He's like, flannel time. It's fall. And Rob on YouTube says that some of the leaves are starting to change colors. He says, too soon. Good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy in 65. I got my mowing jobs in Wittenberg, 3 in Tigerton, doctor's appointment in Shawano, then going to an event in Neil Pitt on the Menominee Reservation. where Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to be as well. So looking forward to it. And finally, Rob says, happy anniversary, WFHR. I have to buy a drink for Brittany and Melissa again sometime like I did in Appleton last November.
Yeah, that was fun.
You're not coming to the party? What?
I know.
He's got a busy day, man.
He does. He's got a mow, and there's no mowing for him to do here. It's just all parking lot right here. plenty of room for the food trucks, not so much the lawnmowers. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you a little in the next hour.
Thank you, Brittany.
Yep. So with Melissa Kay sticking around from WFHR, we get to talk a bit more about, we talked to James in the last hour about the station's history. And by the way, very nice text from Jim in Brookfield, who says, congratulations to WFHR on 85 successful years of broadcasting. That was a great interview with James, where the passion he has for broadcasting could be heard in his voice. It's good to know that WFHR is part of Civic Media. Thank you, Jim. That was very nice. And yes, it was a thrill to talk to James, because again, while I was fortunate enough to have a career in TV and then in politics as well, I mean, it got started in radio, and that's still how I think of it. That's what I wanted to do originally, was local radio. And so when I came in here yesterday and saw the passion that you all have for what you're doing here, it just did my heart a lot of good, because it is still good work to be involved in. You're not going to get rich doing it, but it's still good work to be involved in, Melissa.
That is very, very true. And what you came and walked in on was a lot of sweat.
you were literally in front of the building washing the windows.
It's hot in that entryway.
It really is. Yeah. And look, I've shared small market radio stories, you know, where you're cleaning the toilets and everything else, because you know, there's no cleaning lady coming in here. It's not that kind of a corporation. You got to take care of yourselves, but it's also in your nature. You take care of your own home because you want to take care of your hometown. And I know from the talk shows and the other shows that you've worked on, that talking to the community through their local radio station is very important to people like you.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the community stories, I'm hoping we'll bring it back. Laura and I have a grandiose plan to bring it back as a podcast, but it's a wonderful opportunity to talk to community leaders and community members, and honestly, just anybody from the community to build up the beauty and the togetherness that we have here. And I think it's we're a lot more alike. James says this a lot. We're a lot more alike than we realize. Mm-hmm. And there's more that brings us together than divides us. And the more we talk to each other, the more we know that.
When you're talking to the Wisconsin Rapids community, I mean, you're talking about a community that, like so many others in the Midwest, has had to make some changes. It is, you know, the paper mill towns, mm-hmm. and places like that. They're not what they were in their heyday. But I also see, as I'm driving around and I'm looking at the businesses, I mean, the first thing people see is like, oh, they see all the fast food restaurants and all the short-term things. But you also see like a whole new generation of jobs in things like, you know, building computer networks and things like that. Eau Claire went through that when the tire factory closed. Wisconsin Rapids has found ways to embrace a new economy and, you know, get people educated for the jobs of this era, not the one that their parents and grandparents did.
Mm-hmm. And with Midstate putting the Ameta Center in, that is going to be a huge, I think, draw for technical college education in those technical jobs that we need. We desperately need those. And we definitely have a city council and a mayor who really want to invest in the economy of Wisconsin Rapids and work to build some more businesses. Because yes, the paper mill days are gone. We're still dealing with the aftermath in Wisconsin Rapids and in Port Edwards with the old paper mills that are still here. That's going to be something we have to figure out. But you know, we're taking steps forward.
Yeah, but along with the work, there's also got to be the play, quite literally plays that you and James and others, you have to have, in order to have a vibrant community, you have to have a vibrant arts community. How would you rate Wisconsin Rapids there?
You know, I have not seen a community theater as beautifully furnished and staffed as Wisconsin Rapids has. It's a pleasure doing shows there and going to see shows there, because they have a beautiful
facility. They have a beautiful, like the backstage area is impressive. The storage, I don't know how much you know about community theaters, but a lot of them are tucked in and, or they have to just store stuff somewhere and then go and perform like they do in Stevens Point, where then they get to use the Century Theater, but it's beautiful there. We have the Performing Arts Center, with the Arts Council having art there. We have the Cultural Center down on 8th Street. And then all of the programs that our schools do with our students that help inspire and build those arts and music. It's wonderful. I think our community is vibrant and beautiful.
And they're really going to see a slice of that today in the parking lot. What are you looking forward to? I mean, I heard food trucks, but I mean, there's going to be the desserts. There's going to be the photo booth. There's just going to be a great excuse for gathering.
There is. And I forgot to move those hula hoops that are behind you gracing the back of your frame there. So we're going to have a hula hoop contest because it's always fun to make James hula hoop. He has no hips. and he thinks he can't, but those hula hoops are special because they're weighted and he actually can do it.
I was going to say, those are not typical hula hoops. They look, should we say handmade.
Yeah, they're professional ones. They're weighted and they're bigger.
Okay. So there will be hula hooping here today?
There will be hula hooping. There's going to be axe throwing. There's virtual reality gaming people can try. We're going to have beanbag toss. We've got sidewalk chalk. Food trucks we're going to have a canopy with like tables and chairs for people to sit at. Like, we're going all out.
Axe throwing. I am quite well aware. One of the cardinal rules of broadcasting is to keep, small to medium market radio people away from sharp instruments. And yet here you guys
Evolution
are.
Evolution throwing is coming. They're going to set up outside. I'm pretty sure that they're not real axes. I think they're foam for this display, but we'll find out.
You know, Parker talks pretty big from way down in Madison. You come up here and throw one of those things.
I would love to go axe throwing. That sounds fun.
Have either of you done like the arcade version where it's pretty much like a plastic axe and you're throwing it at like a dartboard type of thing?
No, I haven't. I've only done like real throwing knives in my brother's basement.
Throwing knives?
Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't end well.
I guess any knife is a throwing knife if you're angry enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. were there charges involved or is everything?
No, just a tendon cut on my brother's hand.
Okay.
Ah, I bet that bled a lot.
Yeah, that'll end that juggling career. So, all right.
I do juggle.
All right, Melissa, this is going to be a lot of fun, and I will probably have to skip out before Todd's show, but Todd Albo will be here setting up as well to do his show from 2 to 4. So say hi to him. Give him a piece of whatever dessert I was going to be sampling here, and good luck with your own. We're not gonna sway the judges. You know, you're just gonna cut. But you've got stuff you're proud. You're looking forward to bringing in. Yeah,
I am. It's my grandma's recipe, and I love it. It's my favorite.
Oh, that's going to be way fun. Good deal. Thank you, Melissa, so much. Thanks for hanging around.
Kat. Thank you, Parker. I'm so excited that you did this from our studio today. Thank you for doing that.
We are thrilled. All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
A local update is next for some of you along the Civic Media Radio Network. And then when we're all back together in about 15 minutes here, State Representative Christian Phelps will be joining us. He's part of the Assembly Education Committee and wants to make sure that people are up to speed on something that Congress has passed. Amidst all the budget cuts, there's this new pile of money for education, but it's not what it seems. That's ahead here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Let me tell you what's in today's newsletter from Up North News. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes an article on specialty cheese making in Wisconsin. And I think a lot of you knew that, you know, for being the dairy state, so much of what we produce for milk goes into cheese making. And so much of that goes into specialty cheeses I mean, you know, most of the mozzarella cheese that you have in pizzerias around the country comes from Wisconsin, but there's feta, Parmesan, provolone, Munster, and more. It's up to now 30% of all the cheese produced in Wisconsin last year. Those are specialty cheeses that are being made. So that's one of the stories that you'll find in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Jimmy Cuska will be here in a half hour. We'll be talking about the Brewers. And now, oh my goodness, there's a losing streak, a two-game losing streak, losing both games of a doubleheader to the Chicago Cubs. So let's all overreact, shall we, when Jimmy gets here a half hour from now. Now, also coming up at 8:35, we will be talking to Katrina Shanklin, former state representative from the area. And then tomorrow morning, we'll talk to Sarah Godlewski, the current Wisconsin Secretary of State and former Wisconsin State Treasurer, is making an announcement about her plans for next year's election. So Sarah Godlewski will be joining us tomorrow. Parker, well, I was listening to the, you know, there are several local stations across the Civic Media Radio Network here, and in my headphones come the Madison station from where you are down there in Studio A2. And there was a story about basically folks having to be displaced in some public housing residences because new apartments are being built to replace the old ones. But it got me to the larger topic of being displaced in Madison. And this whole notion, and this has been a thing for a long time now, where all these student housing places, off-campus housing, the leases expire August 14th, but the new leases don't kick in until August 15th. And so for that night every year, there's a huge chunk of the Madison population living on the street because nobody in Madison has thought to stagger lease dates. They all go with one and then the other. And I've been down there for it. It is bedlam down there, especially if the weather's not nice that particular day.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever gotten a good look at that before because I'm not downtown very often, except for obviously coming to work. But yeah, no, that is a very funky way to do that.
But you didn't see that at like Whitewater. I don't recall seeing it at Eau Claire.
Oh God.
It just seems like maybe some leases will start this day, but some will start that day, but yeah. Certainly not on the scale of what you see in Madison.
No, certainly not. Especially, I mean, I don't know about Eau Claire. Whitewater is known as a suitcase college. So you are not getting a ton of people just hanging around on the weekends anyway. So I think a good chunk of people who maybe going from one apartment to the other are probably going home for a while before that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are definitely more commuter campuses that way. This thing in Madison, I just when I heard that news story, it reminded me that, oh, yeah, they went through that again last week. And I would again say, unnecessarily so. Let's see if we can't avoid the problem of having like an all-night street party all throughout Madison. And let's get a roof over people's heads, shall we?
Yeah, that's not a problem. I have a little party on the streets. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh yeah, till it starts raining. Yeah, can't have perfect summer weather every night. That's for sure. Noticing that Congressman Tom Tiffany has sent a sternly worded letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi, saying that the U.S. Department of Justice under the Trump administration should be trying to get back from the Lac du Flambeau tribe the money that was paid to them by the town of Lac du Flambeau nearby in order to have access to the roads that were on the Lac du Flambeau reservation. And at the risk of, you know, going through this entire ordeal again, let me try to make this really quick. The Lac du Flambeau reservation is a checkerboard. There are some parcels in there that belong to non-tribal members because of a terrible law in the late 1800s that allowed the reservations in part to be broken up, and also from an earlier treaty as well with the Lac du Flambeau. So it's led to these non-tribal parcels in there. But you have to cross tribal land to get to them. Well, that requires permission or an easement. And for years, that easement was legally binding, but then it expired. And the Lac du Flambeau said, well, we want a new easement and, you know, for you to pay for access. eventually they lost that court fight, but not before, at the time, wanting payments to, again, give that permission to cross across tribal land. Now, Congressman Tom Tiffany, in the spirit of conciliation, because Tom Tiffany is nothing if not about conciliation and compromise and working together, and yeah, that's sarcasm, is now asking the Department of Justice to go after the tribe and get back some $600,000 that had been paid in the meantime. And I mean, that is in keeping with somebody who, again, referred to the tribe as engaging in extortion and plenty of other strong language that went in there. But it's also not a surprise when you also discover that Congressman Tiffany recently also sent a letter to the chair of the Public Service Commission and urged the commission not to give in to any pressure to close coal-fired plants prematurely. Because again, Congressman Tiffany is all about coal and oil and saying that, you know, these are the power plants that we need, not the things like intermittent generation provided by wind and solar, he likes to say, because he still honestly believes that if the wind isn't blowing hard and the sun isn't shining, that there isn't any electricity being generated out there. And it's exactly this kind of thinking that about his tribal neighbors and about energy that he thinks is going to propel him to a run for governor. We'll see how he makes that decision in the coming months here as we follow along on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll talk to State Representative Christian Phelps in just a bit. The Milwaukee Brewers lost both games of a doubleheader at Wrigley Field last night. Game one, 6-4, though Christian Yelich broke a week-long drought with a home run. And then in the second game, Brandon Woodruff struggled through 4 1/3 innings, allowing 5 hits and 3 runs. The Brewers ultimately losing that game 4-1. They're back in action tonight at Wrigley. Jacob Mizorowski going up against former Brewer Colin Ray. Again, that's coming up at 6:30. Pregame begins across the Civic Media Radio Network. Select stations, head to civicmedia.us to learn more. We will have former State Representative Katrina Shanklin here in 1 hour, who represented folks here in the Wisconsin Rapids area. And we will be talking tomorrow to State Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski about her election plans for 2026. But now let's visit with current State Representative Christian Phelps of Eau Claire from the Assembly Education Committee. And start by talking a bit about some new money that came from the federal government, something that wasn't a budget cut, but it's also not exactly what it seems. Representative Phelps, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm all right. Good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you here as well. And I'm going to quote a bit here from an article in State's Newsroom, which is the parent company of the Wisconsin Examiner. And the headline is, "New Federal School Voucher Program Poses a Quandary for States: Opt in or opt out." And it is a scholarship program that ostensibly state officials can steer the money in one direction or another, but it really does put state officials in a weird position of either saying no to federal funding or saying yes to it and hoping that the money can be used toward public education in the state. Is that a relatively near enough interpretation of what I'm reading here from State's Newsroom about what this so-called scholarship program could be?
Yeah, that's pretty in line with my reading of their analysis here. The basic premise is that the big, ugly budget bill, Trump's favorite bill that was passed federally, right after the state budget was passed here in Wisconsin, created a program that education advocates like my friends here in the state and across the country were kind of watching closely to see what type of maybe federal voucher program might be become a reality in the Trump administration because he's very cozy with school privatizers. And what they created instead was a kind of scholarship program that governors of any state can opt into that kind of creates this. It's very similar to an ESA, an education savings account that some states have. It's not the way that Wisconsin's voucher program works, but it's similar and can be directed towards students for states that opt into it. And ostensibly can be used not just for private school students, but for some of the costs of sending students to school in public schools as well. So it is a very tough position for folks like me who believe that the government at all levels should be focusing their resources on public education. Because on one hand, there's money on the table that purportedly could be used for students in public education. But on the other hand, it does read like perhaps a more palatable stepping stone on its way to a federal voucher program, which would to me be an abdication of the government's responsibility to support public schools and to favor private education instead.
Well,
so that's the position that we're in.
Not to mention, and I say this rhetorically and sarcastically, that it seems odd from people who said they wanted to return education to the states are suddenly now offering all of this federal money for education. It would seem too good to be true that they're actually changing their stance on, you know, federal involvement in education, right?
Oh yeah, I think that you're right there. I think people should take a hard look at the people that are devising this plan. Remember what bill it was a part of, and which president has been advocating for it, and remember what project they're involved in, which is a decades long project to essentially end government support at all levels for the public schools that unite communities and people of all economic backgrounds, and instead favor a private system, which is just not the government's role, in my opinion. I would also say that it almost appears that they're learning something that they could have known from the beginning if they just listened to public educators and advocates, which is that education works best if every child has access to it, and that it costs a decent amount of money to educate all children. And they could have avoided having to create these complex sort of semi-public, semi-private systems if they had just fully funded public education from the beginning, like educators and advocates have been asking them to do.
We're talking to State Representative Christian Phelps from Eau Claire about national money for either voucher schools or scholarship programs. The article from State's Newsroom notes that in 2023, more than $6 billion was spent nationwide on so-called private school choice programs. Again, that's $6 billion that could have been, put into public education to benefit it instead. Now, the thing about this language, this new language in the Trump bill, is that they did not go all the way into crafting a federal voucher program. They did give states some discretion. So theoretically, there would be ways that Democratic governors could look at these federal funds and put them to use. I guess what I don't know well enough is whether that's worth the risk. Is it worth the strings attached? Or would you be better off saying, we are cash strapped here in our state, but we're not going to take this federal money that might have strings attached. Do you have an impression one way or the other on it?
I do. And I'll admit I am not the governor, and I haven't spoken with our governor about this, but I would at this point, I would advocate not opting into this program, because I think there are much better ways to save shared resources and fund education. Wisconsin itself loses almost $1 billion a year to our private voucher program, which does not come with public accountability. That's money that we could be saving and using to fund the public schools that welcome all students and families. And so that's another way to look at some of the money on the table that could be going to public education. And instead of opting into this program, I would advocate fully funding public schools at all levels, and remembering who's behind this. I think in addition to learning that education is expensive, Trump and his allies, largely very wealthy individuals like himself, are realizing that the federal voucher program probably wasn't going to be very popular, because in the states that have voucher programs, they are not popular. People that have them on their ballots as referenda or ballot measures always reject the idea of their public dollars going to private schools over which they do not have public accountability. And so I think that we should be accurately diagnosing this as a perhaps a more palatable stepping stone to what their ultimate goal is, which is a government program that ceases to support public education and instead invests in a private enterprise. And that's just not the role of the government, in my opinion.
We are talking to State Representative Christian Phelps from Eau Claire, a member of the Assembly Education Committee. And so you've allowed us to pivot over here to the state budget, which was both a bipartisan agreement and also had a bipartisan share of no votes, in part for its inadequacies in properly funding education from here. So this is where your work continues now. The state budget has been passed. Legislators will be back for a fall session. And so talk about what your own priorities are going to be for the fall session, both education and if there are other matters that you're working on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of session left. I don't know if people are fully aware of the fact that we're going to be back in Madison having bills introduced, committee hearings, votes, things will be signed, vetoed, passed, failed, through, you know, next spring. And that means there's plenty of time for us to, for me at least, and for Democrats in the legislature and for my friends and allies to demonstrate the kind of leadership that we wish we'd been seeing from the beginning of this session and the types of priorities that we want to see moving forward and the types of priorities that we will make a reality if we get a majority. And that means fixing the school funding formula so that we aren't in a position where a rushed state budget has to negotiate votes on both sides, like you said, in exchange for measly increases in special education or less than inflationary increases in public education funding. And I'll remind people, less than inflation means a cut in practice. So your public schools are more stretched than they already are. Those are the kinds of shenanigans that we get when Republicans are in charge of our public schools. And if we were in charge, we would adequately pay educators and education support professionals. We would provide inflationary increases to public education funding. We would stop wasting your public dollars on private voucher programs that don't produce better outcomes and don't have accountability. And we're going to be demonstrating that agenda by introducing legislation that would be a responsible use of state resources and the kinds of budgets and policies that we would be putting together. And not just that, I mean, there are a lot of things that we should be doing in the immediate to stand up to the Trump regime and make sure that we're protecting people from these attacks on due process and immigrant communities and perceived immigrant communities. We should give ourselves permission to imagine a Wisconsin that has fully invested in a welcoming and safe environment for everybody, including public education and healthcare, housing, and food as human rights. And if they're human rights, we should be making sure that we are providing them to everybody that we can. We are going to be demonstrating that agenda, and I would encourage your listeners to invite Republicans to join us in that, because our ideas are popular, and the only reason that they haven't been enacted yet is partisanship.
And I think that even though we started by talking about the potential for legislation in a new session, you really took it in the direction that's going to keep you and others busier, and that's the messaging of this. There are still so many people who don't know that nearly $1 billion of their money a year is going toward the voucher school programs, or that they don't have a better record of performance, and that there are opportunities for discrimination in voucher schools that you wouldn't see in public schools. And even though you know this, and I've heard you talk about this repeatedly, I mean, you're going to have to talk about it that much more to get it through to people over the course of, you know, the next 13, 14 months.
That's true, but that's our job. That's a big part of our job. And I think that people should also pay attention to which state legislators, of which parties, I might add, are engaging in that hard communications work and which ones are not. The reason that great ideas haven't been enacted is not because there aren't any great ideas coming to the Capitol. We're bringing our community's ideas with us. We have introduced legislation that doesn't even get a hearing because the other party is controlling not just which policies get passed, but the entire legislative agenda. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand that that those ideas are on the table and they should be passed.
Oh. State Representative Christian Phelps joining us from Eau Claire, a member of the Assembly Education Committee. Christian, good to see you as always. Have a great day.
Great to see you. Likewise.
All right. Thank you. A local update is next for many of you. And then in our final hour here from Wisconsin Rapids, we will be talking to former State Representative Katrina Shanklin, helping WFHR celebrate 85 years of local service to the community. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Remember to sign up for our newsletters. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to do that, including our Sunday morning newsletter and our question of the week of what you believe Donald Trump's next job should be when he's done in the Oval Office. Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska joins me now. We're going to talk a little bit of news. We're going to talk a little bit of Brewers. But in other sports, Jimmy, anything special happening this week for you and others in the sports world? Anything at all?
Well, you know, I got to hang out with my kids at their flag football games last night, so I was thinking to myself, you know, it'd be great if high school football was returning anytime soon. Oh, wait a minute. Tomorrow is the official start of high school football. For the first time, both 8 and 11 player football kick off on the same day. So tomorrow will be the start of high school football for many in the state, with Friday carrying the rest of the game. So very excited to get underway with that. And here at Civic Media, we have 10 stations and or 12 stations and 10 markets carrying games to start the season. So couldn't be more excited to get this thing going.
Didn't you already add up like how many different sports events are being covered across Civic Media for all of these games?
So Civic Media covered just over 550 local events last year. So that's everything from football to volleyball to baseball, basketball, all the things, right? And these are local coverage things. Like these are, you know, mostly high school, but a few, you know, like hometown or Legion ball, things like that, but mostly high school events. And with a few more stations being added into the fold and a couple of stations expanding coverage, we're going to easily top 600 local events across our network this year. Pretty awesome.
600 local events. That's awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about eight-man football versus 11?
Yeah, literally, it's just three fewer players on the field. So
I got the math part of it, but
yeah, right. Well, you take two linemen out and one skill position player out. The field dimensions are a little shorter, and really the biggest difference, I think, for anybody watching it, is just going to be the fact that there's not a whole lot of zone defense being played. If you get past one person, the guy you're supposed to get past, guy or gal you're supposed to get past, chances are you're going to go a long ways. That's really the biggest difference in to the casual observer, other than obviously the reduced number of players, is that there's not a whole lot of zone. It's a very much a man-on-man sport. That's really the biggest difference, I think. That's why the scoring is up a little bit. But it is still a pretty fun brand of football to call, and it is still just like 11-player, you know, physical and fun and all that at the same time.
It just reminds me, I think I was mentioning the other day watching, there's a 3-on-3 hockey league now. And it was on one of the sports channels because, again, they've got nothing but time on their hands. And so there's this 3-on-3 hockey league. And I was saying that while I do enjoy 4-on-4 when each team's got somebody in the penalty box, and 4-on-4 seems to go nice and fast and everything, 3-on-3 is just a different beast altogether. And, you know, maybe not necessarily my cup of tea, but clearly this league, you know, has been born and has TV contracts and is moving up. And so you see these variations. Like, remember for a time when indoor soccer was like all the rage You know, playing that essentially on a carpeted hockey rink. And you've got all these different ways that you can try to make sports work. And in this case, it's making football work for some of these smaller communities, I would gather.
Yeah, and it largely is smaller communities. Of the 80-odd schools that are in eight-player football, the vast majority of them have an average enrollment under 200. That's the playoff threshold. If you have over a 200 enrollment over 3 years, a rolling enrollment average of over 200 over 3 years, you actually can't participate in the playoffs in eight-player football in Wisconsin. So it's largely smaller communities. And in a lot of cases, just an attempt to save having high school football at these places where a co-op may not be feasible. Teams, you know, schools, districts want to maintain their own sense of pride, their own traditions, their own history, things like that. So it really has been a boon in Wisconsin. And there were the big changes this year were making it start the same day as 11, and also having the championship run up to 32 teams from 16 before, where now more teams get into the postseason.
Oh, okay. We're talking to Jimmy Cuska here, and you're also covering some news stories for Civic Media, including some local legislators who are putting forward a proposal, which is timely for back to school time.
Yep. So right now, in lacrosse, there's a lot that happens, right? But politically today, there's so many things that happening. It's crazy how much is happening. But we are focusing on WLCX, and by we, I mean me, on Senator Brad Paff and Representative Jenna Jacobson. They have a proposal, a legislative proposal going out that they're going to promote today at the state capitol in about 2 hours from now that would seek to create a sales tax holiday for back to school shopping. Right now, 17 states have this, including Iowa. And in Iowa, it's a 2-day sales tax holiday on clothing or school supplies under $100. In Wisconsin, they're proposing a 3-day sales tax holiday. And the whole intent is just to make things a little more affordable for families as they get ready for back to school. They have a lot of figures they cite. Families spend, a little over $100 on average getting people ready for school. If you have multiple children, obviously it adds up. So it's an idea just aimed at trying to help with families and get rid of sales tax, state and local sales taxes on some of those items as people get ready to go back to school.
Yeah. Tony asking on YouTube, why hasn't this happened yet? Seems wildly popular. There are reasons, and that if it ever gets to the floor of the Assembly and Senate, I'm sure that there will be a debate on the merits of it one way or the other. And then finally, of course, we can't let you go as Civic Media Sports Director without talking about the Brewers losing both games of a doubleheader to the Cubs at Wrigley yesterday. And so, I mean, all is lost, right? I mean, this is done. Here comes the collapse. We're going to be in the basement of the National League Central before long, right? He said somewhat sarcastically.
The Brewers are bad again. Suck again. Season's over.
Is it the worst?
I just can't. Come on, man. It's 2 days. It's 1 day, 2 games. If the Brewers win the next two, they own the tiebreaker over the Cubs. It's really all you really got to focus on, the fact that they have a 7-game lead and there's, only, 5.5 weeks left of the season. Brewers are in great shape. I think Brandon Woodruff said it best. They're in a really good spot right now. 1 day isn't going to derail this whole thing. So,
but honestly, these next two games tonight and then tomorrow afternoon, they are huge for that tiebreaker standpoint. So, forget all the rest of the season. Focus on tonight, starting at 6:30 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jimmy Cuska, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. And on the other side of the news, talking to another one of our Civic Media friends, Earl Ingram, and the What's Going On podcast. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.